Amen. Are you thankful for that? Would you stand to your feet, and why don't we lift our hands and thank the Lord. Lord, we thank you for your great love. We thank you, God, for your spirit that we feel in this place here tonight. Thank you for your presence that's in this place. Amen. It's good to see everybody in the house of the Lord tonight. This side's a little heavier than the rest of these sides. That's good. Maybe you guys needed a little more. I don't know. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord tonight. And I'm going to follow, of course, Pastor felt direction for Faith in the Miraculous for the month of August. And I'm going to teach tonight on that subject. Now, before we get started, I know that Wednesday night's a little more laid back. And so I'm going to try to keep it calm up here. But I told a couple of the guys coming in, I said, when you're talking about expectation, faith, and the miraculous, it's going to be hard not to show that excitement. But I'll try to do it. But if you want to get in and shout or run the aisles or come up for prayer in the middle of it, go right ahead. This is an apostolic Pentecostal church, and we believe in the move of the Spirit and the move of the Holy Ghost. We believe in faith. We believe in miracles. We believe that God can do anything, and there's nothing that's too hard for Him. Amen? Matthew chapter 15, if you have your Bibles. Matthew chapter 15, and we'll start with verse 22. It says, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. His disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. He answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. This woman does not give up. But he answered and said, It's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." And I'm going to talk to you tonight on a mindset of faith and the miraculous. One more time, would you lift your hands and would you ask the Lord to speak into our hearts? Lord, we thank you for your presence that we feel already in this place. And I pray, God, that your word would go forth and that it would take deep root inside of us, work in our hearts, change us tonight, I pray. And we thank you for what you're going to do in this place. Amen. You may be seated. A dictionary definition of faith is complete trust or confidence in someone or something. When I have faith in God, though I cannot see Him, though I cannot touch Him physically, I believe, this is faith, I believe that He is God, and I believe that He is sovereign, and I believe that He is in control. Hebrews says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So when I put my faith in God, I believe that He is all-powerful. I believe that He is sovereign. I believe that He has my best interests in mind. I believe that He can do anything and everything, and there is nothing that is too hard for Him. Now notice, the critics may say, well, when you're going through a trial, here I go, I'm getting away from that, I'm sorry. Critics may say, when you're going through the trial, or they see you going through the fiery trial as Amber preached, where is your God now? Are you still going to believe and trust Him? Job's wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? Why don't you just get rid of this idea of God? But faith says that my God is all powerful. Faith says that my God is sovereign. Faith says that God has my best interests in mind. So it doesn't matter if I have received the answer or not. It doesn't matter if God's given me the miracle that I have desired or not. I understand that when I have faith in God, that He is sovereign and He is in control, and I will trust Him. Now, our faith is not hinged on the physical makeup of our circumstance, but our faith is built upon a God that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. You see, when we start looking at the circumstance we're facing, the problems that come, sickness or pain, or be it family problems or financial situations, it could be easy for us to want to throw in the towel and give up because of the dilemma that we're facing. But our faith isn't built upon how we feel or how the situation looks. Our faith stands on a God who is limitless in power. There is none higher than Him. There is none equal to Him. He has all power in heaven and in earth. And we understand that all He has to do is speak the word, and our circumstance can change. But faith says, and when I have faith in God, it says, hey, my faith in God isn't built upon my circumstance or how my situation looks. My faith in God is built upon Him, because I know that He is all powerful and He is the mighty God. From Genesis to Revelation, the Bible is packed full with instances of people that had faith in God, and their faith produced the miraculous. Specifically in the New Testament, we see faith and the miraculous evident in the first apostolic church. Jesus taught the disciples the importance of faith, and He was performing the miraculous everywhere He went. Everywhere that Jesus went, there was something that was happening. I would have loved to have been with Jesus as He's walking these streets, going to these different towns and different cities, just wondering what is going to happen next. Could you imagine His disciples seeing the devils cast out, seeing the lame walking, seeing the blind seeing, seeing the dumb speaking? Can you imagine the dead being raised back to life? Could you imagine how those apostles felt, those disciples, as they're walking with Jesus and miracles are happening all over the place? I know that we're not physically walking with Jesus right now today, but He is here and His power is here, and we need to get that same expectation. What is God going to do next? He's here. He can do it. Who is He going to touch next? What is He going to do next? The miraculous was a common thing when you were around Jesus and when you were around His disciples. Now, Jesus gave His disciples the authority to go. Mark 16, these signs shall follow them that believe, and He gave them the authority and the power to go. So whether you were with Jesus or whether you were with the disciples, the miraculous was evident around them. I submit to you this evening that if we are going to truly be the apostolic church, the miraculous will be a common thing when you are around the people of God and when you are around Jesus. The miraculous should be a regular thing here at Apostolic Pentecostal Church. Do you believe that? Would you clap your hands if you believe that? We must have this miraculous power. And it's not for our glory, it's all for His glory. Amen? How do I keep my faith strong? How do I strengthen my faith when I feel that it is weak? I think we've all been through times that our faith maybe wasn't as strong as it was at other times. Maybe we feel like because of a circumstance that we're going through, maybe, just maybe, for some reason, we feel like our faith is fading away. Romans 10 and 17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." If we're going to have great and strong faith, It is absolutely essential for us to read the Word of God on a daily basis. It would be hard to not have this faith and trust in God if you're continually, consistently reading about the miracles and the power of the Almighty God. Amen? The Word of God is powerful. We find out in Hebrews 4 and 12, it says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of sunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." As you begin to read the word of God in your private devotion time, there is something supernatural that is happening. Now, I know it may seem like it's just going through the motions, but there is really something that is supernatural that is happening. The Word of God is alive. And as you begin to read it or hear it, life is transmitted to you spiritually. And as the process begins to happen, faith begins to grow in your life. Daily reading the Word of God will keep your faith strong, and consistency is the key there. Now, we can read and say that we read the Word of God, but consistent daily reading of the Word of God will keep your faith strong. Collectively hearing the Word of God will help strengthen your faith. In order to keep your faith strong, it's so vital that we are faithfully attending church and hearing the Word of God preached and taught. Amen? Now, you're the faithful bunch. You're here on Wednesday night. That's easy. That's easy to say that. Faithfully attending the house of God and hearing the Word of God preached and taught will strengthen and build your faith. When we come together collectively and in unity, there is a special anointing of God that rests upon us. As the Word of God goes forth from the pulpit, there is a faith-building process that occurs. There is power, hear me, there is power when we are unified and one mind and one accord. When we are together and we have faith in God and we're hearing the Word of God preached, there is something that is very powerful about that. Do you agree with me? Something very powerful about that that will strengthen our faith. Mark chapter 2:2 says, "And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door." And talking about Jesus here, watch this. "And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of palsy lay." And the Bible says that when Jesus saw whose faith? When Jesus saw their faith. "He said unto the sick of palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." I'm not going to get into that right now, but verse 11, "I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into the house." The Bible tells us in this instance that Jesus is in this house. People hear about him, evidently, and they're there. And the Bible says that he's preaching to them the word is going forth in the house. And we find that there is a man that has palsy, and then we find out that there are four unselfish human beings that are with him. Four unselfish human beings that were with him. And they decided that this man needs to get in there to see Jesus because he needs a miracle in his life. But because the house was so packed, They couldn't get in through the front door. But they expected and they had faith. Evidently, they had faith that Jesus could heal them, heal this man. So the Bible tells us that they went and they started tearing the roof off of this house. You want to talk about desperation? You want to talk about great faith? They're tearing the roof off this house so they could get a man. It wasn't so they could open that up and say, "Hey, Jesus, we got a guy outside. We want you to come see when you're done." No. They're physically going to do what it takes to get this guy to Jesus. So they begin to tear the roof off this house, and they lower this man into the house. The Bible, I find this very interesting. The Bible says nothing about that man's faith. Now, when you read the New Testament and you see all the miracles that are done, Jesus is saying, "According to your faith, be it done unto you. Great is thy faith. O woman, great is thy faith." Why, he's always saying, "Great is thy faith," to all these different people. But in this instance, he never says one thing about that man's faith. But what he does notice is these guys that are with him, they got some faith. And because of their faith, because they have faith, it says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to that lame man, "Rise up, take thy bed, and walk." When we walk into the house of God, we don't always need a miracle. We don't always have a need. I don't believe that every single time we come in, we have an absolute need that we need from Jesus. But we should always have faith that he's able to do it, and we should always come in expecting. Here's the reason why. Who is he going to touch because of your faith? See, going through the motions on Wednesday or Sunday and just doing our thing and having our three songs and our offering and having our choir sing and prayer requests and preaching and just going through the motions as business as usual, that's not going to work. We got to have faith that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I can ask or think. We've got to get a mindset that says, "Hey, it's not all about me all the time, because I've got a brother or a sister that is struggling, that is going through the fire, and it might just take my faith for them to receive their miracle." I don't know about you, but I want to have faith so that my brother and sister can receive a miracle in their life. That's why it's so important that we come to the house of God and we're collectively worshiping together and lifting our faith together and hearing the word of together, because miracles happen when we are together and in unity. The next step I want to talk about is the step of expectation. Expectation. Expectation is the birthplace for the miraculous. Expectation is the birthplace for the miraculous. Now notice this. I don't think I put this in your notes. I wish I would have now. But believing and expecting are not the same thing. Believing and expecting are not the same thing. If I ask a show of hands, how many believe that God could perform a miracle tonight? I imagine, let me see, how many believe that God could perform a miracle tonight? Probably 100% of people would say yes. I'm not going to ask you to do this time. But if I ask, how many walked in those doors and believed that expected that God was going to perform a miracle in here tonight? I wonder how many hands would go up. Believing and expecting are not the same thing. We must believe, yes, but we've got to add another step to that and add expectation, believing and expecting God to do it. I'll never forget this. I was preaching a revival in Greenville, Missouri. Brother Sprouse was there. I was young, Brother Reaver. I was getting my minister's license, and back then you had to preach out once a week for 6 months, or a total of 24 times in 6 months. So this gracious man in Greenville, Missouri, decided that he was going to let me preach a couple of revivals to get my times in so that I could get licensed with the United Pentecostal Church. So we were there, and my mom always went with me all the time to all my revivals. Some of them thought that she was my wife. One of the pastors that we knew introduced her as my wife, and I was like 17, 18, very single, and I said, whoa, 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 she's not my wife. That's my mom. I'm single, you know. Anyways, got off there on a tangent. Anyway, sorry for the camera guy. I'm sorry about this. I know. Let me try to get back over here. Okay. So, was in Greenville, Missouri, and it's about 30 minutes or so from Poplar Bluff, Jessica. She lived there. And my Aunt Frances lived in Poplar Bluff and went to Brother Parkey's church. At that time, my Aunt Frances was very, very sick. And one of her kidneys was not working at all. The other kidney was only working around 25%. And she was going to go that next week to Memphis to have some tests run, and I don't know if they were going to put her on dialysis or what, but it was a very serious thing. And I remember this like it was yesterday, and it's been 10 plus years ago, I think, that she said, I'm going to come to that revival, and I believe that God is going to heal me. She came expecting that God was going to heal her in that revival. Now, it wasn't a church like this. It was much smaller. And there was maybe this many people in this section at that service. But that didn't stop that woman. She came with faith that God could, and she came with expectation that God would. And I remember at the end of that service, she came up, and she stood right here, and she lifted her hands. By the way, she said that out. She spoke that with her own words. I'm coming, and I believe and expect God's going to heal me in that service. She came up to the front. We prayed for her, and she went back to the doctor that next week. The doctor ran tests, and the doctors ran tests, and the doctor came back to her and said, Frances, that kidney's working 95% now, and we can't understand what is going on. And she said, let me tell you what happened Friday night. I went to a revival in Greenville, Missouri, and God healed me in that service. Ever since I encountered that, I believed that if we'll come with faith, believing that God's able, and we'll come with expectation, believing that God will, we are going to see the miraculous in our lives. Could you imagine what would happen in our services if every person got on board and started expecting God to do some things? Expecting, I'm talking every service, even on Wednesday night on Bible study where everything's relaxed, walking in those doors, expecting God to heal somebody, expecting God to fill somebody with the Holy Ghost, expecting for one of our lost loved ones to come with us to church and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What would happen if we walked in those doors expecting miracles, signs, and wonders? What would happen if we came believing, having faith in God that He's able, and expecting for our, I hate the word, but backsliders, the ones that we know that walked away from God, walk down this aisle and lift their hands and begin to repent because God's conviction was all over them. I don't know about you, but I want to have faith that God can, and I want to expect that God will. Many of you have got promises from God, promises about family situations, promises about ministry and what have you. When we get a promise from God, it should instigate expectation. It should inspire expectation. And when we start expecting, of course, faith is evident. You see, when I have faith, I believe that God can. And when I add expectation, I believe that God will. So when I add my faith to my expectation, I believe that He can and I believe that He will. I believe that He can and I believe that He will. We need to move from the mindset of just God can believing. That's the mindset we have. God can, I believe that. We need to move from that mindset and say, yes, I believe that God can, and oh, by the way, I believe that God will. Expectation is the birthplace for the miraculous. Expectant, the word expectant, means having or showing an excited feeling that something is about to happen. Now, we call women who are pregnant expectant mothers. We still use that term? I was doing a little research on that, and boy, in British, that's a bad deal. In Britain, you can't say that over there. Expectant mothers. They're expecting a baby. Now, this could change with their mood swing because they're pregnant. But most of the time, these mothers are excited about having that child. Bring somebody over to the house. Here comes Kelly. Let me show you the room. Pink room. Look at these decorations that so-and-so handmade. Look at these beautiful dresses that Nana bought. Look at this onesie. Look at these 50 pairs of shoes that the kid's going to grow out of in 2 weeks. Just look at them. Aren't they beautiful? Look at this blanket that grandma put together and made by hand. Look at, on and on and on. You see a pregnant lady at Target, you don't go anywhere near her. You're expecting, Brother Reaver. Just kidding. I'm going to regret that one. I can promise you that. Oh, you're expecting. Yeah, doing 5 months. I'm 4 weeks and 3 days and 21 hours away from my due date. Oh, well, when we were expecting, we had this camera right here, and we used these diapers, and these are the wipes. I mean, you start talking to an expectant mother, things start going crazy. You can feel the excitement and the joy, sometimes the anger, I guess. I don't know. But you can just tell by talking to them for a few seconds that they are excited about that child that they are getting ready to birth. We ought to have that same type of excitement and expectation for the promises that God has given us, the miracles that He wants to do. It shouldn't take very much time for somebody to be around us and say, wow, they are expectant. They're expecting the miracles that God's going to do in my life and in their life. Wow, they are expecting God to do great things in their family. Wow, they are expecting for the miraculous in that situation. It should be overflowing in us. Would you lift your hands right now? Would you ask God just to fill you with this mindset of expectation? God, I pray that we would grab a hold of faith and grab a hold of this expectation. Let it be born with inside of us so that people all around would be able to feel it and see it. One preacher said it like this. He said, the promises of God are His intentions of what He plans to do. Their fulfillment is in our hands. Either we expect them to happen, or they simply do not happen. Israel was pregnant with the promises of God, especially one to enter into the promised land. But they died on the wrong side of the river. Why? Because they did not believe, nor did they expect that they could conquer that land. If God has given you a promise, you believe Him because He cannot lie. His word is true. Don't just brush it off and say, oh, well, I don't know if that was from it. Believe and hold on to the promises of God. Trust Him and expect them to come to pass. We demonstrate faith and expectation on a daily basis. You and I do. Every day we demonstrate faith and expectation. When we go home tonight, or the first thing we do when we walk in our house is flip the light switch on. Unless you got kids like me and every light on the house is going to be on when I get home. But when we flip that switch, We don't think twice about that. We expect that light to come on. When you get ready to leave here tonight, you'll grab that key, or maybe you'll have it in your pocket and you'll push that button. And most of us won't think twice about it. We won't think of how the gasoline's coming and the oil and the transmission, and we won't think about how all that happens. We just have faith in that car, and we expect that thing to turn on. Now, I did have one of those cars that I was a little worried every time I stuck the key in it, whether it was going to start or not. But I think for the most part, we stick that key in there, and we don't think about nothing else. We just click that thing turns over, and there we go. Your thermostat at home, maybe you got it set on 76. Maybe you got it set on 68. Boy, there's a lot of talk. That's a good one. We got to talk about that in marriage class, thermostat. Where's Andrew? To put that thing on 68, when we walk in the house, we're not leaving church tonight going, man, I wonder if it's going to be 100 degrees in that house or not. No. We expect that thing to kick that air conditioner on, and we expect it to cool our house down, and we expect that when we walk in those doors, it's going to be nice and cool in that house. I wonder what would happen if we started expecting God to fulfill his promises and perform miracles in our lives like we expect everything else to happen. We put a lot of faith and a lot of expectation in things that we can't really control, and keys and thermostats and air conditioners and a lot of those different things. What would happen if we started having faith and expectation for the supernatural things of God to take place in our midst? I wonder what would happen if we walked into our community and we went to Walmart or Schnucks or Deerberg's or the gas station or Aldi or the bank or wherever it was, and we expected revival to happen. I just believe that conversations would begin to happen because we have faith and expectation that it's going to happen. I wonder what would happen if we started expecting God to save our lost loved ones. Oh, I know that we believe that he can do it, but I want to get past that. Belief. That's so important. That believing is so important. But there is another step to seeing the miraculous and the power of God, and that is expectation. I believe that he can, but I'm going to expect that he will. Expectation is the birthplace for the miraculous. When you start expecting, the promises of God are going to be birthed. Real quick in our text, and I'm hurrying up here, verse 22, it says that this woman of Canaan came and she cried out saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is vexed with the devil. And the Bible says that he answered her not a word. Didn't say a thing to her. Ignored her. He gave her the cold shoulder. He didn't even recognize that she had said anything to him. I think that that was a test to see how serious she really was. He wanted to see how desperate she really was. Many would have gave up and said, well, I guess he's too busy. I tried. I called out to him. I came and called out to him, but not this lady. Disciples said, Lord, you got to send this woman away. She's crying after us now. This woman said, okay, if Jesus won't answer me, I'll hound his men. I have to get to Jesus. I've got to get the attention of Jesus. No matter what it takes, no matter what I have to do to get the attention of the miracle worker, there was desperation and there was faith and there was expectation inside of this woman. Her problem was not going to go away on its own. And we face problems that aren't going to go away on their own. Her problem, she already knew, this problem is not going to go away on its own. A doctor was not going to prescribe a medication and make everything all right. This woman was desperate, but she had enough faith and expectation that she said, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get the attention of Jesus. So his disciples said, Lord, send her away. She's crying after us. She's bugging us. Can you hear him say, will you just heal this woman? Will you just heal her daughter so we don't have to deal with her anymore? Send her away. She's bugging us now because you didn't say anything to her. Jesus said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Basically, it was a slap in the face to her. He said, I didn't come for her. I came for my people. You see, she was a Canaanite and a Syrophoenician Greek. And in this time, the world was divided into two categories, Jews and Greeks. The Greeks were heathens and they were idolaters. So that mixes things up a little bit. Why was this heathen idolater who had gods, why was she coming to Jesus Christ for healing for her daughter? Why wasn't she going to her gods? You ever think about that? Apparently her gods couldn't do anything for her. She heard about Jesus. She came and worshiped him. And right after that had to take a lot of courage, by the way. She's a Syrophoenician Greek woman. She's not of the house of Israel. She's not a Jew. She had her own gods. So she had to get enough courage to say, I've heard about this man called Jesus. I heard that he does miracles. And I need to get to him, whatever it takes, I'm going to get him to him, and I'm going to get his attention so that my daughter can be made whole. Right after she came and she did this, this crazy thing of even coming to her, he ignored her. And basically it was a slap in the face when he said, I'm not come but for the lost house of Israel. The Bible says that after that, after he said that to her, look at that in verse 25. After he said that, the Bible says, then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. We ought to learn something from this little woman here. She didn't get what she wanted, yet she still worshiped him. She didn't get the answer she wanted, but she still worshiped him. I've seen it in people and maybe have been guilty of it myself that when we're going through something and we don't get the answer that we want and the time frame that we want, it may damper our worship. Don't let your problem or situation damper your worship. Just because God hasn't given us the answer that we're looking for doesn't mean that he's not worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. This woman, this wasn't even her God. Jesus Christ wasn't even her God. But when he said, no, I'm not sent to her, she still fell down on her face and she began to worship him, saying, Lord, you have got to help me. I think at that point when Jesus said, I'm not here for her, a lot of us probably would have turned around and walked the other way. We would have given up, but not this woman. This woman had faith. This woman was expecting him to do something for her daughter. So she says, truth, Lord. I know that I'm not a Jew. I know that I've got all these other gods. She said, and I know that I'm even a dog. She said, yet the dogs eat from the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Her desperation and faith astounds me. He just said, I'm not going to take my blessings and give my blessings to people like you. He called her a dog, and notice she acknowledged that she was a dog, and she said, you are the master. She said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat from the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Great is thy faith. Would you stand with me? One last story, one of my favorite stories in all of the New Testament. I preached about it a month or two ago, is that woman that had the issue of blood for 12 years. The Bible says that she spent all the money she had, and she went and saw every physician that she could see, and she only got worse. They couldn't do anything for her at all. Sometimes we feel like we're in that same situation. I know we preach through that passage of scripture all the time, that there's a lot of times that you and I are in situations just like that, where we've gone and we've done everything that we can do, and nothing's getting better, but it's only getting worse. That little woman that had that issue of blood for 12 years, I would imagine she probably felt defeated after having that sickness, thinking that she's probably going to die. The doctors can't do anything for her. She's probably going to die. But she heard that Jesus was in town. And this is what she said. She said, there was a crowd thronging Jesus. There are people all around him. And she said, if I can just but touch the hem of his garment, I will receive a miracle. You want to talk about faith and expectation. She didn't say, and I'm not against these things, she didn't say, the pastor's got to come and lay hands on me. She didn't say, if we get the anointing oil or bring one of those prayer cloths, and I'm not against those. She said, I don't even have to have Jesus look at me or say anything to me. I have enough faith that if I can just touch his clothes, I will receive the miracle that I need. And you know the story. She reached out and she touched the hem of his garment, and immediately the Bible says that virtue flew out of him, and he turned around and he said, who touched me? And the disciples looked at him like he was crazy, saying, what are you talking about? We're all around you. The multitude is thronging you. People are brushing up against you, touching you all the time. He said, no, this touch wasn't like all the other touches. This touch had faith. This touch had expectation. And when you combine faith and expectation, the miracle power of Almighty God takes place. I know this is a Wednesday night, and we've got about just a couple of minutes, but I wonder who wants to put this into practice. If you have something going on in your life, maybe it's a family situation, maybe it's healing, whatever the need is, would you be willing to come up to the front of this altar and lift your hands in the air and say, God, I have faith that you can, and I expect that you will. God, I know that you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Your power and your spirit is in this place right now. I pray, God, that your spirit would begin to touch and work and move in these situations and these needs. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Would some of you come and join these, and would you lay your hands on them? These are serious situations and circumstances, and they're believing that God is going to perform a miracle in their life. God, we believe that you can, and we believe that you will. Our faith and our trust and our hope is in you. We know that nothing is too hard for you. There is nothing that is impossible for you. It may be impossible with man. It may be impossible with man's thinking, but it is not impossible with your power.